On this week's episode of the Friend Forward podcast, we're jumping right in and we're talking about other ideas of vulnerability that often get overlooked. Because if you're anything like me, you see the conversations around vulnerability and they tend to be associated with one specific image of what vulnerability looks like. But if you continue to associate being vulnerable with this particular thing, you might be overlooking a bunch of other opportunities to have connection in your friendship. And I want to share with you six specific examples of what I'm talking about. Before we jump in this week, I want to let you know that this episode, today specifically, is sponsored by Tell Public Relations. That's T-E-L-L Public Relations. If you've been seeing some of the things that I've been doing with the brand Friend Forward, serving as a spokesperson and getting brand deals, book deals, speaking engagements, podcasts, interviews, all the cool shiny things that I've been blessed to be a part of, and you're like, hey, I actually have a personal brand and I want those things for myself, I encourage you to check out tellpublicrelations.com, which is all about helping women, specifically women of color, to elevate their brand. And so here at Friend Forward, we're all about helping you build and develop your personal brand and friendship. But this Tell Public Relations agency is about helping you develop and elevate your professional brand. And you can learn more at tellpublicrelations.com. Now, in the meantime, let's talk about vulnerability for a second. And I know it's kind of like, oh, eye roll. I hear about that all the time. I'm hoping to offer something new to the conversation. I also want to give you a heads up that what we're about to kind of chat through today, you'll find in chapter 8 of Fighting for Our Friendships, which debuts in about 4 weeks. If you have not yet pre-ordered your copy, I'm encouraging you to do so so that you can claim your pre-order bonuses. I've designed exclusive content that is only for people who have pre-ordered and will no longer be available starting May 7th. And I don't want you to miss out. So that's all at betterfemalefriendships.com. Click the book page and it'll give you a space where you can enter your confirmation order number that you received when you ordered your copy. So this will be in chapter 8 once you receive that copy. Let's start by defining the word vulnerability. You know, I'm a former English teacher. I like making sure we understand the definition of a word and we're on the same page, sharing a baseline understanding of the word before we start working with it. So vulnerability, the best way I've heard it defined, and as I listened to Dr. Marissa Franco, who wrote the book Platonic, kind of work with this word, I think this is a good working definition for us. It's taking a risk of being rejected. Taking a risk of being rejected. Now, if you're like me, when you're on social media or when you hear people giving motivational speeches about vulnerability, many of us tend to think in our brains of an image of a person who is crying while they're telling a story of some kind of childhood trauma they went through, or it's very like highly explicitly emotional sometimes, the imagery that we connect with being vulnerable, right? People are like, you just need to be more vulnerable. We think of being explicitly soft and tender and having to cry or confess a private thing. And while that certainly qualifies as vulnerability, obviously, right? There are other ways to be vulnerable in your friendships that don't necessarily involve you crying and talking about your childhood trauma or addictions or whatever, okay? There are other ways to be vulnerable, and I want to share them with you now, okay? If vulnerability means taking a risk of rejection, there are other ways in our friendships that we might feel like we're taking a risk. And here's a key caveat before we get into the list. It can vary from person to person. So what might feel risky and exposing for you might not for me, right? It can also depend on your audience, because I've noticed that there are certain things that feel vulnerable with some of my friends, but I don't give a second thought about with other friends. It could be because of the relationship we form. It could be because I kind of subconsciously know that certain friends have more of a judgmental, critical spirit. So it feels even riskier to share or show something with her. Okay. So depending on the level of exposure you anticipate after taking this risk and the person you're doing it with, vulnerability kind of fluctuates. So let's take a look at six examples of vulnerability in friendship that have nothing to do with you crying in a corner and confessing all your darkest secrets. Okay. The first is this: initiating a hangout with a new friend. If vulnerability is taking a risk of rejection, it can feel risky putting yourself out there and saying, hey, I so enjoyed talking with you last week. Would you want to come with me to this museum exhibit next weekend? Would you want to come with me to the farmer's market? Would you want to go to this concert with me? Can feel risky. There's a chance she doesn't feel the same way. There's a chance she says, you know, no, thank you, I'll be busy, and doesn't offer up another way that you guys can hang out, leaving you to wonder, okay, is she being polite? Is she putting me off? It can feel like a risk to put yourself out there and invite someone to join you on something. But how many of us are saying, I want to be braver in my friendships. I want courage. This would be a way of practicing that. And I always say being in this space, like in this friendship space and studying the research, sometimes when I do media interviews, the host will say, you know, how has all this impacted your friendships? And I give the same answer. It has made me braver. It's made me braver doing this work. Okay, but we'll get into that in a second. Here's a second example of vulnerability in your friendships that you might be overlooking. Sharing your wins. Sharing your wins. Okay, think about it. If for you, and this is specifically for women, okay, because, and not to get into the research today, I'm going to try to stay focused because I like, you know, pulling in when I can, but women tend to be really value egalitarianism. We talk about that in chapter 2 of Fighting for Our Friendships. We value egalitarianism, meaning for the most part, we see everybody equally. Everybody's the same. But in men's friendships or in men's relationships, sometimes it's more acceptable for them to establish a hierarchy or to roast each other or to compete or to say like, oh, I, you know, did this more than you. And it's not a threat to the friendship. But for some reason, that feels like a violation of women's friendships. With that being said, it can feel risky to you to share a win because you might fear, depending on your audience, that it looks like you're elevating yourself above the others, which is like a no-no for groups of women. Okay? But again, it's if you think that group's going to perceive you that way, right? So this might mean that if you got the promotion or if the guy that you're dating is like, hey, I want to, you know, date you more seriously, or you finally got that new apartment, or I mean, whatever it is, if you feel like sharing it is going to turn your friends off, it's going to make them mischaracterize you and be like, oh, okay, she thinks she's feeling herself. Okay. If you think you're with people who are going to feel a need to immediately like humble you so that you don't get too big of a head, come on, somebody. I know you've experienced it. I thank God that I have healthy, strong friendships at this point in my life. But I recently, last year, sunsetted a friendship that was very meaningful to me because, and this was my first indicator that it was time. I found myself holding back positive things. And I was like, oh, hold on now. What's this about? Okay. So if sharing your wins feels like a risk, that counts as vulnerability. Number 3, another act of vulnerability that you might be overlooking is trying something new in front of your friends. So this could include like sharing an idea or doing something you're not good at in front of the friend, right? Like letting her see you be uncertain, letting her see you be imperfect. I'm doing something new in front of you. That can feel like a risk. So even offering an idea, I mean, we're talking simple. Even if everybody in the group is sharing ideas for either where they should go or what they want to do or where they want to eat or, I mean, literally anything. And you have an idea for an activity, you have an idea of what a friend should try in her, you know, relationship, whatever it is, but you feel like it would be taking a risk. You feel like there's a chance she might reject that idea and be like, girl, that's dumb. That's so stupid. What are you talking about? That doesn't make any sense. That right there, that counts as vulnerability. Again, remember, depending on the audience and depending on the level of exposure that you anticipate with making this remark. This is kind of unrelated. I don't know why I'm digressing so much today, but I'll never forget, you know, I was a high school English teacher before I got into this work. Okay. If you've been following along, you already know that. If you're new, welcome. Here's my story. I started teaching in 2009. And I noticed over my 6 years of being a teacher, 5, 6 years of teaching, I noticed a change in the dynamic in the classroom over time. And I noticed that the students became less comfortable taking risks of raising their hand and answering questions. I don't know if I have any teachers listening and you can say amen, but that was a shift I saw in the landscape. It is vulnerable for kids sometimes to raise their hand and answer a question or to ask a question. Feels risky. Is everybody going to say, that's dumb, that's so stupid? Like, think about it from a kid's perspective. If I say something and it's wrong, or if I offer an idea, my classmates are like, what are you talking about? So a lot of them clam up. They say nothing at all. We carry that same spirit sometimes into our friendships as adults. If I raise my hand to say, hey, I have an idea, or what about this? And I'm with friends who are going to be like, what are you talking about? That doesn't make any sense. It would shut me down. I'm no longer taking that risk. But that is vulnerability. I want to pause for a second. We have 3 more items here. You might be listening to this list and thinking of a specific friend. And so far, you might be like, oh gosh, I can't do any of these things with her. All I'm going to say is look at that. That's all I'm going to say. If all of these things feel like, oh, I would never do these things with her, or I already anticipate her rejecting me for all of these things, I'm just going to say, look into that. That's all I'm going to say. All right. Number 4. Bringing up something that she did that you didn't feel comfortable with. Or conflict is inherently uncomfortable. Even for people who seem like they do it well and they can have like thoughtful, mature conversations and they're really good listeners, especially if you're like being called out or something like that, it's not always comfortable. And because of that, it feels risky to address an issue. Hey, what did you mean by what you said last night? I was unclear. Hey, I was wondering if we could do more of this or less of this. Hey, when you say and do this, I don't really like how I feel. Okay, it rubs me the wrong way. Conflict can feel risky, and therefore it is vulnerable. It's vulnerable. So a lot of us, when we think of vulnerability, we think about crying in the corner and sharing our deepest, darker secrets. But vulnerability or taking a risk can also look like addressing an issue of tension in the relationship. Number 5, we're going through here a list of things that qualify as vulnerability that we often overlook, but they count as taking risks of rejection. Number 5 is sharing a different opinion. I don't know how many times I've worked with women when we're having our 75-minute one-on-one coaching sessions. If you got my newsletter last week, I shared about how we're pivoting in coaching. So you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't joined the newsletter, please go do that. BetterFemaleFriendships.com. That's where I get to share some things that I feel like are too nuanced or too spicy or too vulnerable for me, being honest, to put on social media. And I feel like we're cool in the email inbox. Okay. So I share a little more. So you know the pivot we've taken with coaching, but when I do coach, I've had women who tell me certain things. And I'm like, oh, you know, do they know that? No, I'm not going to tell them that. Or I'm the only one in the group that feels this way. Or I know I'm the only person who sees things this way. So I'm not even going to bring that up because it's going to be a whole thing. So if you find that sharing a different opinion, holding a different position, sharing a different worldview is going to make you stick out like a sore thumb, so you keep it to yourself, that would be a vulnerable act for you to move forward with sharing that diverging opinion. And the 6th thing that's vulnerability that you might not consider as vulnerability is sharing your goals. I mean, have you ever heard anybody talk about how vulnerable it can feel to share your dreams with another person? I mean, heck, for some of us, it feels scary even saying our dreams out loud by ourselves, like to verbally proclaim what it is we desire, to open our mouth and give life to a dream we have in our heart, and to say it out loud and make it real feels scary, let alone allowing someone to be a witness to that. What if I fail? What if it doesn't come true? What if I get disappointed? What if I look foolish? Sometimes sharing a goal with a friend in your business, in parenting, in your dating life, something you want for yourself, but I'm not going to tell her what I've been wanting, what I've been yearning for, because it feels scary personally to say out loud. And I don't know if she's going to think this is silly. These are six examples of ways to practice vulnerability that go beyond showing tearful emotion, which is often the main image associated with that word, vulnerability. But what do we do with this? As your new official friendship coach, here's your homework. Listen closely. I want you to think about which of these felt the most vulnerable for you. We're going to do three steps right now. Step one, think about the one that felt most vulnerable. I'll run it down for you again. One, initiating a hangout with a new friend. Two, sharing your wins. Three, trying something new in front of your friend or sharing a new idea. Four, bringing up something that she did that you didn't feel comfortable with. So essentially conflict. Five, sharing a difference of opinion. Six, sharing your goals. Which one currently feels like, oof, the most uncomfortable for you? I'm going to give you a second. Step two, I want you to close your eyes. I know this is sounding a little woo-woo, a little more woo-woo than we do here on the show, okay? Because you know I'm about facts, numbers, data, okay? But sometimes you got to, I'm getting more comfortable on the platform, just tapping into speaking from the heart instead of the head all the time, okay? So step two, I'm going to close your eyes. Come on, just do it. Come on, come on. And I want you to imagine yourself doing that. Visualize yourself doing the thing that feels scary. Can you picture it? Don't worry about her reaction. Can you picture you doing it? Finally, I want you to spend some time visualing and sitting with the ideal outcome of what could happen and the impact it can have on both you and the friendship overall. Because just because we say something's risky doesn't mean don't do it. There's risk and there's reward. So how might there be a positive impact on the friendship if you went for it? Let's look at some examples. If you finally muster the courage to initiate with that new friend and you say, hey, do you want to join me? And you go first and you ask. A possible outcome is she says, yes, I'm so glad you asked. Let's do it. And it's the start of something beautiful because you had the courage to go first. Let's consider the vulnerable act of raising an issue that you feel tense about the friend, addressing conflict. It's a risk. But what if she said, oh, wow, I didn't know you felt that way. I'm so glad you told me. Now I know. Things will be different moving forward. How can we work through this? How can we make this better? And it improves your friendship. What if you shared a difference of opinion with a friend? Something you've been sitting on because you don't know if you're going to be judged for it or if they're going to think you're weird. And what if they don't react as negatively as you thought? And you suddenly feel more freedom to share more openly of your ideas and opinions. It stretched the capacity for truth-telling and authenticity in the friendship, which makes it a better friendship, but also personally, individually, gives you more of a feeling of satisfaction. They just showed me it's safe here, but I don't know if it's safe until I test the capacity for expressing myself. These are all radical acts of vulnerability that could improve both your personal mental health to take the risk and do the thing that you've been ruminating over and impact your relational health as you give people a chance to show you, you are safe here, your full self is welcome here, and I love all of who you are. If this is something that is especially resonating with you, I want you to come tell me about it. Come and find me over on Instagram at friendforward. You know, I love a good voice note. Or you can visit us anytime at betterfemalefriendships.com. And if you are like, okay, I'm hearing you, but I wish I had a way to like read this, the book at the time of this recording, or at least at the time of this airing, comes out in 4 weeks, Fighting for Our Friendships. Please come and claim your pre-order bonuses if you're going to order early, because they disappear in 4 weeks. I'm also going to say this, and I was going to wait until another episode, but I'm going to throw it here because if you've listened through this whole episode, I know some of y'all don't. Okay. Which, by the way, come on now. If you've listened through all the way till now, the last thing I want to offer to get you thinking is who you would want to read that book with. We put reflection questions at the end of every chapter. There are 9 chapters. They're there to inspire your personal reflection, sure, but also to get some dialogue going. What women do you feel safe reading the book through with for your book club this summer? More on that later, okay? I'll let you go and think about who you'd want to read Fighting for Our Friendships with. And in the meantime, you know that I'll be right here rooting for you always on your ongoing journey toward better female friendships. Until next time.